I'm speaking today with Roy Morales, who is running for City Council at Large number 3. Roy, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. Tell me why you're running for this office.
Well, I'm running so I can serve the community again. As you know, for the last 6 years, I served as a Harris County School Trustee and Precinct 1. I wanted to make sure that the community was served properly. For this race, I believe I have the experience, the ability to work with Republicans and Democrats to get things done that's beneficial to the community. And I believe I have the most experience for that.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about your experience with the County Department of Education. What would you say was the most important thing you accomplished while you're there? You look back on it, what's the thing you're most proud of that you did while you're there, and how do you think that time there would serve you well on City Council?
Well, there were actually two areas. One was to ensure that we maintained some great campuses for our Head Start students. I was always a big advocate of that. I believe that the way that we influence education is when the children are young, 3, 4, and 5 years old. And I just wish more children had that ability. The other was to keep the tax rate down to where it didn't really cost that much to the citizens of Harris County to fund some really great projects like our behavioral schools, where children with special needs needed some special attention, and they got it.
Okay. Now, you've run for council before. You ran for this very seat in 2007, and of course you also ran for mayor in 2009. What would you say you learned from those experiences?
What did I learn? I learned that you stay consistent on your message, and people respect you for that. Actually, both sides of the aisle respect you for that. What I say I'm going to do, I do. You may not like it, but you know where I'm coming from. I'm not going to change in midstream. I may learn something that may change something a little bit different on how I approach it, but I'm always open to new ideas. And I think that people like you, for example, would be surprised at what I've done over the last few years in the community.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that then.
Well, I think we're in an age where the voters are different. It's been 10 years since I entered my first race. We've had a big change within, let's just say, both the young Democrats and young Republicans. They are looking for something different, I believe. Areas of education is very important. The quality of life is very important. Taxes, yeah, people are still concerned about keeping taxes down. But you do have individuals out there, other bloggers, for example, and they tend to be very reactive on certain things without gaining all the information. For example, there was an attack on the Harris County Department of Education on trying to terminate that department because of a few people that were maybe not informed, or they took information and they translated it into their own ideas, which were just wrong. And I really thought that was very, very wrong in trying to terminate it, because it affected over 14,000 Hispanic children and about 8,000 African-American students. And I actually went to LULAC. I'm a member of one of the councils, and we pushed that through all the way to the state to say, no, we need to keep a Harris County Department of Education for our children.
Okay. What would your priorities be on council if you were elected?
The number one priority, given the current situation, many cities in our country right now, for example, Detroit, we have to stay in tune with our budget. Even our mayor a few weeks ago at a Republican meeting talked about the pensions. As you know, I talked about the pensions back in 2009, and a lot of people, including the mayor, disagreed with me that there was a chance of bankruptcy if we didn't take control of the situation. So what we have to do, we have to make sure that we audit these departments, as I suggested back in 2009, and we have to come up with a new plan. And I agree with the mayor that when it comes to the fire department, we need full transparency on that union.
So to clarify, you would support the efforts to get a bill passed to require meet and confer.
I would. I believe in transparency in government, and I believe our departments owe that to the public as well, including the fire union.
Okay. So, I mean, more broadly, I mean, you're talking some about the city's finances. You know, as you know, if you had won the mayor's office in 2009, you would have had to cut a whole lot of money from the budget because there was a big deficit at the time. Since then, the economy's gotten better, the finances have improved, you know, the city has more largely managed to restore services that were cut. What's your take on the current situation, the budget that was passed this year? You know, what's your take on it?
Well, I think the plan that I had originally, it was very similar to our mayor, and she had to make some really hard decisions during the downturn of the economy. The economy is going up. We'll probably see an increase in appraisal on property. Actually, we started seeing that last year. The mayor's and council has been able to keep the nominal tax rate, which is basically the same tax rate. And as these appraisals go up, that's more revenue for the city. I believe that as appraisals continue to go up, if our economy stays well, if we as a government entity allow business to flourish, and that means don't be obstacles, but be partners with these businesses, especially in the areas of permitting, then we're going to have more growth. If we have more growth, that's more revenue for the city. And I believe that we need to ensure that our tax rate should reflect that next year. Is it going to go up? I don't know. We have to wait until the numbers come in. But I believe that our revenue shouldn't be any more than population growth and inflation. Of course, I've seen some of your articles about Bruce Hotze. But I believe that's something that we need to take a look at. Is it 5%? Is it 4.5%? What Bill White recommended in his amendment, we have to take a look at. If you talk to people like Ed Emmett, he says 5% probably isn't a good number. It might be higher. It just depends on the situation. But we need to not only look at the tax rate, but we need to look at the fees as well, because the property tax rate has stayed basically the same over the last few years, but the fees have gone up. And if fees go up to businesses, it's just passed on to the consumer that we failed to realize. And we need to make sure that we keep those fees down so we can have growth within our businesses.
Okay. Well, something a lot of people talk about, I mean, is quality of life in the city. And, you know, you've talked about the growth. We've had quite a bit, a lot of building going on. What we're finding now is that in some neighborhoods, you know, developers are announcing projects that the neighbors don't necessarily want them to build, you know, high-rises, like the Ashby high-rises is the canonical case, but there's others popping up around in my neighborhood in the Heights, in River Oaks, out in Memorial. Now the city, of course, you know, tweaked Chapter 42 to change some of the development codes, but that's still a work, you know, that's never going to be a finished product. It's always going to be a work in progress. How do you balance the needs of the developers who want to enable growth or build more housing and more places for businesses with the needs of the neighborhoods that want to have more control over what they wind up living next to? How do you balance those needs?
It's called reasonable growth. That's what we have to look at. Yes, they made changes to Chapter 42, but no changes made to Chapter 9, which is really the infrastructure that supports that growth. And council really has no say-so when it comes to Chapter 9, and that needs to be changed. When you let a bureaucracy like Public Works, and that is one of the departments I think is at the top of the list that needs to be audited, council needs a little more say-so. We represent the people, and we need to be able to see full transparency on what's going on with Chapter 9. That's the first thing that we need to correct. Now, as far as what developers want to do as far as more density, it costs more money. If you have so much acreage within the inner city and it's hard to buy a home because you got to pay for the land and the building itself. And that's why some of the developers were pushing for the change in Chapter 42, so they have more of a smaller square footage of the land, but they go up higher. Now that's going to be extended out to the Beltway. There is so much land in this city for growth. And developers are looking at that. I believe they're looking at it. You look at how, for example, in the southern part of the town, 288 and the Beltway is now expanding to four lanes on each side. There's plenty of opportunity of growth down there. For me, that's the part of the area I live in. I can be anywhere in 10 minutes in the city because I live along the Beltway. We need to be reasonable when it comes to the neighborhoods because it's just bad business. It's bad PR, like the Ashby was. Look how many years we've been talking about that. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense for 20-plus story building on so much square footage when the infrastructure wasn't there. I think developers have learned their lesson. It costs too much money. Move on to where there's land that you're not going to have the headaches with trying to convince the neighborhood that it's good for them.
Okay. Houston has developed a reputation nationally as of late for being a great food city, and food trucks are kind of at the leading edge of that. Recently, they've organized and have been petitioning city council to change ordinances that forbid them from operating downtown. That's still a work in progress, and some council members raised some concerns about it. I'd like to know your position on that. Do you support the efforts of the food truck vendors to operate downtown?
Well, let's talk about the food truck vendors in general, because that's another topic that's gone on for a long time. I always believe that we need a level playing field for everybody, and it has caused certain problems for restaurant owners when they have to go through all the permitting and then the inspectors and public health and disposing of their waste oil properly. And then you have these mobile vendors that come in. Sometimes, you know, they take their wheels off and they plant, and they're there. I don't think that's good for the public health-wise. They don't dispose of their waste vegetable oil properly or their lard. And there's just health concerns there. They have rules that they're supposed to follow, and many of them don't. And we need to get they need to show us that they can follow the rules before we allow them downtown. I've worked construction when I was a young man. Did I always look forward to, you know, that food truck coming by that construction site? You bet. As many workers do. As far as downtown, we have to look at that. But they have to start following the policies now before we look at something like that.
Okay. In 2001, there was a charter amendment passed that forbade the city from offering domestic partner benefits to its employees. The country's changed a bit over the last 12 years, you know, with the Supreme Court ruling on the Defense of Marriage Act. It's a federal thing, but, you know,
and it's a state thing, too.
A number of Texas cities, San Antonio, El Paso, a few others, have passed ordinances to grant domestic partner benefits to its employees. If that comes up again in Houston, is that something you would support?
Well, let's see what the state says first. It all boils down to the state and the public. The public should always have a say-so. And for that to come up, it'll probably need a referendum. Let's see what the public says.
Okay. All right. I'm asking everybody this question, so I'm going to ask you, who are you supporting for mayor this year?
Who am I supporting for mayor this year? Charles, you know, the number one rule that a candidate has is run your own race, because you never know who you're going to offend by saying, I support Anise Parker, or I support Ben Hall, or support one of the others. I want voters to know that they need to support me, and that's what's important first. I want to work with either mayor or whoever gets elected. I know I can work with Anise Parker, but I want to make sure I work with the mayor, not against the mayor, and help with solutions. I know a lot of people that are running in this race. One in particular probably wants to fight on everything. That's not how you get things done for the city. We've got to care about the people in this city. And by fighting all the time doesn't solve their problems. It may make you look good in the press, but we're here to help. And that's what I'm here to do.
Okay. This doesn't directly affect your. This isn't directly connected to your race, but I'm curious. I'm sure you're aware of the Early to Rise effort to support, to put a ballot or a referendum in Harris County that would fund pre-kindergarten programs that would be overseen in some fashion by the Harris County Department of Education. I'm curious what you think about that.
Well, I thought you were going to say the Astrodome, but...
Well, you feel free to talk about that, too.
Well, let's go back to this pre-K education. I mentioned earlier about my support for Head Start, that the way we affect our children is early on. We affect them by, we can teach them so many languages. Right now, there's still a move to keep them with one language and not expanding them in others. And I believe that that can be done. I believe we need to first look at some type of private system to engage our pre-K students. I've offered to meet with the superintendent of the Harris County Department of Education to talk about certain ideas. I don't think the public's ready yet for another tax. The Harris County Department of Education has authorized, I believe, a one penny tax. They're at 0.006 something right now. I don't know what the full numbers are. I believe the group that's pushing this effort, they're supposed to provide some numbers next week. I look forward to seeing what they are. I still think it's a little early, but I believe our children across the whole community, if we can get them engaged, it's great news, because our children are no longer competing with children in Dallas or San Antonio or LA or New York. They're competing for jobs in the future with children around the world, be it Moscow or Beijing or Singapore. I want our children to be the best of the best.
Okay. And you are in a fairly large field of candidates for at-large number three. When people go to vote in that race, why should they vote for you, Roy Morales, and not one of the other candidates?
Well, this is actually a smaller race than we had in 2007,
true.
And there was 11.
Well, we haven't hit the filing deadline yet, so you never know.
That's true. People know that Roy Morales will do what he says he's going to do. I've served this country, I've served this county, I've served this city for over 30 years now. I care about what happens to people. There's different groups out there that know that I will do whatever I can to help them. If it's LULAC, I'll be there. If it's organizations like Nellie Fragas helping young children, I'll be there. If it's an organization like La Rosa Family Service with battered women and battered children, I'll be there for them. People know that I will be there. And I will get things done. That's what they want to hear. They want to hear solutions. Something that I always did while I was in the military. When my boss gave me a task and it really couldn't be done, I didn't go and tell that commander, it can't be done. I went there and said, it can't be done, but we can do it this way. I had a solution to the problem. And that's what people want to hear. They want to know that we have solutions. And not always fighting against something, but creating something. Making this city something better. Avoiding bankruptcy, but becoming the number one city when it comes to economic power around the world. That's what we can have. And not only that, but provide that public safety that we need. Provide those daily services that we need. If it's trash pickup or water rates, I'll be there. If it's the roads, we need to fix our roads. It's going to be from the top to the bottom on everything when it comes to Roy Morales.
All right. Roy Morales, thank you very much for talking to me today.
All right, Charles.